Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Home Run. It's a Monday afternoon. It's a Monday afternoon, and wherever you tuned in from, thank you for tuning in this time of the day. Thank you for listening to Eagle FM. And from taking over from now until the hour of 6 is your usual drive time show, a duo that is Helmut and Dwight with Home Run. And today's discussion is an interesting one, and believe me, it was 5 hours of basically a comedy set that would make Dave Chappelle jealous. Dwight?
Look, I'm just laughing out loud now. Because I knew
that even took place on Saturday, right?
Yeah. I knew you would say that.
You see, on Saturday, the Honorable Prime Minister, Liang Gurari, in his order with me jacket, decided...
In his order with me safari
Thank you. Yeah. And also, the Minister of Finance, Erika Shafuda, also showed up in her order with me dress. And the Master of Ceremony also showed up in order with me. So it was order with me day. At this point, so.
But it sounded more like you're positioning it there. When the three of them all.
Those guys said
they literally said it sort of like to, what is that word that they have in English? You know, when you try to set rapport.
Conference call?
No, not conference call. Rapport, Helmut. You know rapport, doch, man.
I know.
From that thing that you keep saying about the good lawyer.
Knows the judge.
Knows the judge.
Yeah.
It's not just about knowing the law and the loopholes. It's about knowing the judge.
Yeah.
What the three of them literally did was literally, you know, put themselves in the shoes of the people they were there to meet.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be a talking down session like the Prime Minister said. It wasn't going to be about dictating terms like the Prime Minister also told the whoever in his office was setting up this engagement because there was supposed to be a speech. And he said, no, I'm not going there to say a speech. We're going there to listen to people.
Yeah.
Meaning there are complaints. There's a situation.
They have issues they want to address. And we are going there to, we're going to listen to what they are going to say. We are not there to tell them.
Exactly.
In other words, they're the ones, which is a very excellent approach because they're the ones that are running the day-to-day entrepreneur import business, which is colloquially known as Order With Me. They're the ones that are facing the day-to-day challenges, especially at the board and relations, in relations with a number of officials.
Yeah.
So, look, that makes a lot of sense because what does the Prime Minister know about that?
But here's the thing, the Prime Minister does know.
Uh-huh.
All the examples he mentioned of his life as a young person.
Yeah.
Remember the catalogs he spoke of?
And the Afrikaans, go on.
Yeah. Mm. Catalogus. That's all he said. Look, Helmut, it's not my problem. You're probably the only guy for Kavango here in Windhoek who can't speak Afrikaans, but the Prime Minister can speak Afrikaans because he knows it. So the things that he mentioned were the things in terms of when you look at generationally, he was exposed to. I was also exposed to the catalogs because my mom, there was this lovely thing that comes out of South Africa, but it's one of the things that literally also glaringly exposes Namibia in one particular consumer realm. For example, reading culture. My mother ordered, what was that thing's name? In Afrikaans, its name is Leserskring. It's like a ring of readers or collection of readers is its name. It's not Reader's Digest. But Reader's Digest was something my godmother, my aunt, ordered as well, also out of South Africa. Reader's Digest, Helmut, came in like a little half a A4 page, an A5. This was the monthly booklet. It was a monthly magazine of imagine a drum, that other collection of South African
magazines,
the tabloid. But imagine this is a whole month's worth of talking points, articles that were written, opinions, analyses, all that in an A4 magazine this size. And it was literally half the size of what you would think your Bible, your Bible at home would be. Half of the Bible in terms of pages. And it was absolutely lovely to read. that thing phased out in Namibia because what you can assume is obviously orders became small, which was also an order with me. That which my mom did, she literally ordered books, reading books, novels, storybooks. We built up a, my younger brother and I, we built up a whole Disney collection of Disney books for kids. We gave it like that to my nieces, for my, the brother that married first when his children started becoming of, you know, of a certain age where they could, you know, enjoy, stories as well. And it was a whole collection of like 15 to 20 books that my mom had ordered. So order with me is well known. And order with me is also so well known, Helmut. You can, it's literally the whole retail sector of Namibia.
It's basically
order with me. But here's the thing. It's about who controls the order setting. That's the first dimension you've got to look at. And the second one is, aren't there a few things that you can basically internalize locally?
I think listening to it and also reading for the most part between the lines, the Prime Minister's speech was mostly tailored towards the reference of less focus on producing.
Yeah.
And which is very fascinating when you think of it in terms of textile, especially textile. Now about the gentleman that asked a question about cars that he also does order with me by buying cars from Botswana, and he did also mention one one interesting point.
Yeah, the second hand car market is also an order with me.
The second hand car market, which are bought by which are imported because Botswana does not manufacture any of these cars.
Yeah,
they are imported by Botswana, but according to his experience in the business, the gentleman from GAM, that he's only allowed to buy them for Botswana for his clients here in Namibia after they have been imported and being used in Botswana for about 2 years.
So he has to wait. So he has to go and literally ask his supplier, show me only the cars that have been here for 2 years.
Exactly.
That's a dumb rule.
But I know, right?
It's a completely dumb rule because here's the thing, Hamoud. The biggest issue and the car retailers here, remember that the new car, they call it the new vehicle segment.
Mm-hmm.
The new vehicle segment guys know what is the actual issue in terms of why Namibians can't easily buy into new cars.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, the secondhand, the used cars that come from their new cars, meaning the exact same brands, the exact same value, is a scenario of literally that the used car is basically the price of the new car. Go talk to any car driver who has bought a car through the bank. They will tell you a used car is literally the price of a new car.
Dwight?
By 2 years even.
Dwight? Huh? They're all over town. Pre-owned cars. They're all over the, I walk past them and they're there, the prices. I'm like, I'm looking at the price and going like,
So what is the new one?
Yeah, that's exactly the question you'll ask yourself. If that's the price of a pre-owned one.
Man, I'll call it secondhand. Why must I use, euphemism? It's a secondhand car. What was the one guy even came and told me, yeah, don't use secondhand. Secondhand makes it sound not so valuable.
And so say pre-owned.
But pre-owned and used are literally the same as secondhand.
Yeah.
Because you either get brand new or you don't get brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But you are right, Helmut, because if you as a consumer, and this is just the car sector, this is just the vehicle sector.
Yeah.
If you see the prices for a new thing, which is literally the basis of the discussion of an article we had back in last week in the e-paper about where the same prime minister, I'm assuming that it's him, his words basically, where he also highlighted specifically in that article that make it make sense how a car of $1 million can be paid off in a 5-year cycle.
Yeah.
And a house of $1 million
has
to be paid off in a longer cycle for repayment.
Yeah.
And even if you use the quotation mark is very catchy because every Namibian has known this.
Mm-hmm.
Every Namibian in the future will know this is a scenario of if there's a price tag, how is it that the one item increases in value, No matter the condition it is in. I even spoke with Happy earlier
even
today.
Even if it's dilapidated.
Even if it's dilapidated. Even if it's abandoned and dilapidated, Helmut. Even if it's a haunted house with ghost spirits and all manner of witchcraft and wrongturnness. You can throw all the horror movies that you've watched in there. That thing will still have a high price versus what's the asset of a car? Because a car is technically not a fixed asset because a car can be bought and sold continuously.
Yeah.
And the downside is that in many cases, Namibians, we look at the same price tag and we say, but this is a million here, this is a million there.
Yeah.
But this one
is easy to acquire. This one is more difficult to acquire. I mean, the finances of.
True. But the downside is, what is also the scenario is in that in Namibia, we're not doing anything about supplying more properties. We're doing everything to bring in more cars. We're not doing anything to supply more built properties.
You know what? That is true.
We're not doing anything. It's the whole reason why I keep hammering on the local.
You have order with me cars. You don't have order with me houses.
Exactly. It's the whole reason why we've been having the conversation of affordable housing.
Alternative building materials
for housing. And then also potentially looking at other dynamics across the world in terms of changing the way we look at living, having a home. And that's the whole basis, Hamid. It forms under that big thing of specifically bringing more supply. That's the whole reason also why mass housing and the shack dwellers guys. So what shack dwellers guys literally did, what you can see, the nuance.
Mm-hmm.
Shack dwellers, the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, they, in the previous ministers that, obviously, before Minister Sankwasa that had the office, but before that, we quickly take a short break.
Get so much more.
Get the best for dad this Father's Day at ShopRite. Save big on a wide range of gifts and treats he'll be sure to love, like an 8-piece Wall Home Pro Basic haircutting kit for $179.99 per set. Kalahari Hemsbok Droivors for just $36.99 per 100 grams. Or give the gift of choice with a ShopRite gift card. Deals valid until 21 June 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Welcome back. We're just getting started with the
order with me discussion.
Yeah, with the order with me discussion where they had an engagement last Saturday. That's previous Saturday, where there was a lot of officials to basically answer the questions that were in attendance there. Sam Shivute was there with his staff and the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister was, of course, there, and the Minister of Finance was also there. And the Minister of, the Prime Minister did say a lot of important things, but my favorite part of his speech was when he said, hard talk does not destroy friendship or something like that?
No, he said frank.
Yeah, frank.
Talking frank with each other. So it's not a frank that you know. We're talking about speaking a very...
having an honest conversation.
But it's more than honest. It's like you are daring to take that honesty to a next level of honesty by... Well, I did that a lot with my friends.
Someone did that in that event. Namra the murderer, I was like, okay, Prime Minister, how did you not see that one coming? Well, you said frank talk. There is frank talk.
Look. I saw the live stream there a little bit later in the day, like after 3 hours, and the one guy was like, he was like vehemently on this point, but I suspect everyone had already asked the same question.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when the public is given the opportunity, Hamud,
you
ask the first question,
mm-hmm.
and then after your question gets answered, I stand up and then I ask the exact same question that you asked 5 minutes ago, and I get the exact same
response.
Answer.
Yeah.
Now, because there's one gentleman that, like, hour four of the broadcast was saying, but why? Who told Namara to destroy our goods? Look, I'm not making fun of you guys specifically. I know how difficult it is to run a small business and to be an MSME. I've got a sibling who does the same particular venture. However, the particular need has been something of where you send the money. That is Namibia's concern. That is literally the veiled between the lines discussions and messaging that the Prime Minister and the Finance Minister was actually giving the order with me, guys. Look, guys, you can send the money to China. There's no problem.
But then, like I've been saying as well, you can just as well have sent the money to South Africa, because South Africa basically has the exact same thing that you would get from China. Okay, but, okay, except now for the motorized plowing machines and sewing machines. You know,
yeah, the motorized plowing
machines. You remember when I showed you all those templates of what was happening in terms of if we look at real innovation, why we don't see it in Namibian context, but it's so easy for a farmer in China to do, or for the son of a farmer in China to literally do. They take a motorcycle engine, put it to something, and then instead of you using your cattle to and your donkeys to be plowing a field, you literally just have this two-handed thing. You can even leave your mom, no matter how old she is, to just walk up and down with that thing, and she gets her exercise instead of, you know, backbreaking work, and then voila, work is done. Work is done. There's no bending over, bending backwards, bending sidewards. There's no rediscovering muscles that you forgot about 15 years ago. It's literally the work needs to move faster.
Yeah.
Now, that's also one of the particular things basically in the veiled, honest discussion that the Prime Minister and the Minister had. But
yeah, now, there's a point you made, you know, before we went for the break. That's the, you know, we have high prices in cars and housing in Namibia, yeah. whether it's a brand new cars, especially for cars, whether it's where you have, second-hand or pre-owned cars that are almost the same price with the brand new ones.
Yeah.
And the question now, you know, which is what is basically, as you can imagine, pushing a lot of people to buy the, you know, to buy the ones that have been driven in, you know, in Asia, wherever it is that they were driven, and then they were bought, you know, and then they were sent to Botswana, and they were used again in Botswana for, you know, for another extra 2 years. That's only when you're allowed to bring them into, you know, into Namibia. Look, I listened to that and I was like, okay, that's an interesting one, but why? Now, the point you made before we went to the break is, why are we not seeing the same supply in, you know, in housing that we are seeing in cars? Which is, the first thing I can think of is the difference in the products.
Mm.
Yeah, one is obviously, you know, one is, movable, the other is fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you can, you know, unless you're talking about, buying one of those mobile homes, which are now being made all over China. You can buy those ones, but that will be a whole different discussion. I can imagine the, you know, the price of shipping, of having to ship one of those things. Yeah. But, just here at home, since the Prime Minister's speech was heavily emphasizing on producing things at home.
Yeah.
He didn't really, you know, say it in the exact same way of, how about we just start producing things at home? But, you know, if you just read in between the lines, at least that's my interpretation of his speech. When you just listen to what he's saying, he's just leaning in the direction of, guys, let's produce it here so that we don't have to, to buy something outside. And there's one gentleman that also stood up and made that point about about producing things locally. But then he said it in reference to cars. I was like, hey,
now.
I'm with you when it comes to producing things at home. But I mean clothes, man, not cars.
No, but that's the exact same thing. Because for example, people have to understand the realm of order with me.
Yeah.
Now, Helmut, I have made use of Order With Me before.
Yeah.
Specifically when it comes to books. But I got exactly the thing I ordered. I've also had the opposite experience. I know you've also, you know, experienced Order With Me. The opposite experience was I literally didn't get what I paid for. I got something completely different, two sizes smaller than me, and I literally had to give it away. And it wasn't even meant for me. Mm-hmm. It was for the wrong gender even.
Oh, boy.
No, because this is the thing. I bought from a colleague once.
Yeah.
Because she offered a very good deal in terms of me going to any of those retail shops in a mall.
Yeah.
And the picture she showed me, and I said, okay, I will pay now. Are you sure that thing in that picture is what I'm going to get? And she said, yeah, Dwight, you'll get it.
Yeah.
2 months later, I even forgot that I had paid and ordered for this. I even forgot. That's the worst part. The thing shows up at the office and it's not in the picture. It was literally, I was like, okay, thank you. And I literally just transferred it to someone. I gave it away to someone else.
Yeah.
And when my sister had the bookstore, my sister did literally order with me scenarios in terms of if there were books she didn't find, she could not source from South Africa.
Yeah.
She could source it from you from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Now, the difference I'm showing you is the difference between two people who know customer service and who knows that they want to be at a competitive advantage than their immediate competitors. The first scenario, which was a colleague, the colleague didn't care about my needs.
Mm-hmm.
The colleague just wanted to make a sale. Let's also be honest in terms of the order with me collection of Namibians. In some cases,
yeah, there are different people involved in this business, so you have different suppliers or different people that are just giving the whole thing a bad name.
Not that, Helmut. It's literally the perspective, the outlook, the perception that on both sides that the customer has with this individual who runs an order with me business.
Yeah.
And some order with me people don't care what they sell you. They don't care.
In what way?
I just gave you the example that the thing that I saw in the picture in the catalog is not the exact same thing that I
that
saw
you received.
In what I received.
I know. Now, there's one colleague of ours that bought a very nice, nice hexagonal mirrors that the way that they appeared in the magazine. And she was like, man, these mirrors, when they show up, my room is going to look awesome. The mirror showed up, they could fit in her pocket. And
now, do you see exactly? How do you reinforce the exact point I just made for the exact class of business people in Namibia who don't understand the first social contract that they have with their customers?
Deliver
on what you say you are selling.
What could be the remedy of this now? Because I think, because that one is a very serious problem. Because, I mean, we were laughing at it here when those two, when those mirrors showed up, because she even brought them to work with her. Look, guys, this is how it appeared in the magazine, and this is what, this is what I received. And she's basically like the second person that I've had basically, that ordered something that appeared very awesome in the magazine, and then the opposite of what they saw in the magazine showed up. So that brings to me the question.
Do you know who has a very good principle of such an order with me scenario?
Who is that?
Everyone that works through South Africa. So that's the Tupperware people, those ladies that sell you Tupperware.
Yeah.
Because as it is in the catalog, is what you're going to get. The Avon people, as it is in the catalog, is what you're going to get. The when my sister had a bookshop, you were shown a picture of the cover page, of the cover of the book. You cannot deviate from that. You get it as it is. So now I have to explain to you, but now I have to ask you this question. Did you ever ask that colleague of ours, we will not mention names, just so that you know, but since Helmut already gave away mirrors, you know who you are. Did you ever ask the colleague after that, how did you feel in hindsight about that particular purchase decision?
I asked one of them. It was like,
were two of them that bought mirrors.
No, the other one, I think, bought something different. I asked one of
from
them.
From the same person?
No, different person.
Okay.
I asked one of them, and she said, you know what, I've just, I feel like I was ripped off, which she was, basically, if you look at it, if you look at it, at a situation. But, now the question that I just, I've never asked both of the, any of them this question, but it just came up like, these are the issues. Like every business, you're going to have issues. The people are running this business. If they find out that there is this type of, dissatisfaction coming from a customer, do they have any remedies in place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there cash refunds? Are there any discounts offered?
Yeah, exactly. Because the thing is, the business seems to be working for a lot of Namibians. So it's not something that you just want to say, you know what, let's just get rid of it because one person was ripped off.
Yeah.
If we did that, we'll have to close every shop.
Yeah.
Like you said the other day that running a shop is very dangerous, which I didn't really think of it that way, that you also run the risk of, of your products being stolen by your own workforce and your own customers.
Oh, it's the first thing you are taught if you work in the market. Helmut, And this is the funny thing there. Mm-hmm. This is where I appreciate real life experience mm-hmm. over textbooks or mm-hmm. sitting in a classroom.
Yeah.
You can immediately, in some cases, you can judge a lecturer's experience or the value in terms of what a lecturer, you know, dispenses to you.
Mm-hmm.
If the lecturer gives you real world experiences of their experience in real life, in the same job sector, in the same industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had 3 to 5 lecturers of that same caliber. I rank them highly. They don't have to have the doctorate level of anything.
Mm-hmm.
The lecturers I don't appreciate a lot are the ones that stayed a lot in air-conditioned offices, that'll write...
Too much book experience, not much real-world experience.
Look, I also like books. We all like books. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, in many cases, how does discovery, how does adventure, how does new science and new things happen and inventions?
It doesn't come out of mostly in academia.
You go and you play around.
Yeah.
You go and you find, you go and you see.
Which is why most of the scientific, most significant scientific breakthroughs are accidental.
True.
Yeah.
Remember Marie Curie?
Yeah. Lady.
Remember the guy that you love talking about, the guy from Vaseline?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Homeboy. Yeah. You know, also, you know, Vaseline, same example.
Exactly.
I mean, your microwave guy was the same example.
Now, here's the thing that happens specifically with building such connections.
Yeah.
Now, my parents, back in the 80s, they also, you know, dealt with order with me. But before that, we've got a short ad break coming up.
Get so much more.
You get so much more with the ShopRite price because we buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you. Save on 2 kg Real Good Chicken frozen mixed portions, only $99.99. And 2 kg Marathon Light Brown Sugar for a low $37.99. Deals valid until 21 June 2026. Get so much more with the ShopRite price.
Welcome back, and we continue. So, the business world.
Okay. No, you were still going to make a point before I interjected. So, you first make that point, and then I just rounded off with the example I wanted to say.
The business itself,
yeah.
Like, the risks will always be there grievances will always come from, in the very same way that you had the Prime Minister, the Minister of Finance, and a number of officials listen to grievances from the business operators.
Mm.
You will also, most likely than not, hear grievances if you had to bring together all the consumers of their products,
yeah,
in terms of delivery or maybe just dates, times, and all those things. Again, back to the gentleman that ordered cars, that is into business of ordering cars from Botswana.
But I know why, and you know why
mm-hmm.
that specific order hampers his business in Gum.
What?
It's the whole reason as to why the Peugeot plant technically was shut down as well.
Oh.
Helmut, I can order a car directly out of Japan with this specific platform here. Those guys are also here in Namibia. They help Namibians, but they will tell you on the website,
uh-huh.
No car older than 6 years can be sold to a Namibian.
That's the point that was made actually before that, keep it in Botswana and let it wait for 2 years before you go and buy it. The point the gentleman also made, which I found very informative, was that, I believe he said you are not allowed to bring in cars, older than 2013.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, you must, it's always safe to basically, get from 2013 coming, this way, but not 2013 going backwards.
Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
How many Donkey Botswanas do you think are older than 2013?
Ooh.
And I'm not talking about the, what was your favorite joke? The red Demio or the maroon Demio?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the Demios. They're slightly newer.
The one that,
I'm talking about that Corolla, that gray Corolla sedan. That became the tagline Donkey Botswana in Namibia. Because it was that car that taxi drivers crossed the border for with hard cash,
yeah.
Namibian dollars.
Yeah.
And they went and bought the car there and they drove the car back. It's because of those guys also unfortunately, cab, the taxi drivers, you guys are at fault for this because you guys were all rushing to Botswana for this.
I mean, it's an affordability component.
It is an affordability component. But here's the thing, Helmut. Did they really think the government would not pick up it? And did they really think that the established private sector of Namibia would not pick up on it? And did
the established private sector of Namibia dealing in the same product.
Did they really think?
Because, so it's a competition at this point.
Because do you know what happened? Have you ever spoken to a mechanic about these import cars?
No.
Go and ask them a mechanic's advice. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a backyard mechanic in Karatura, Comestal, wherever, go ask that mechanic's advice.
Yeah.
Ask them, what's your advice on buying a car for a brand new person? Just ask them that.
Mm-hmm.
Helmut, the moment a mechanic tells you, I can get your parts for you for your service every year
mm-hmm.
on the scrapyard,
mm-hmm.
literally at the scrapyard, ne, should tell you it's a waste of your money buying such a car that no one wants to fix and no one wants to service. Why? I'll answer the why.
Mm-hmm.
Because the second-hand car market, from what comes from South Africa, Helmut, they produce for every car that is sold in Namibia, Botswana, and South Africa. Every car that comes through South Africa.
Yeah.
Not the used exports from Southeast Asia and Japan.
Mm.
Every car that's literally coming here as a new car in Southern Africa, the Saku region.
Yeah.
All aftermarket products. So meaning after the 5-year period that you've got the car, you can still find brakes for your car at the aftermarket shops. The aftermarket shops are like your Goldwagen and Masterparts and so on.
Yeah.
And Greg's Motorsport. Those guys. You can still go and find products for you. Helmut, how is it possible that you still find products for that Land Cruiser, that 1990, the range?
1990 series.
Yeah, but in the 90s, you know which Land Cruiser, yeah. It's the one right after the Untach Land Cruiser, after the box one, the box one that the UN guys drove here in the 80s. Now that one in the 90s. How do you still find parts for that car? How do you still find parts for much of the VW range?
Now, that point brings up the discussion of, I'm imagining business people, especially in reference to cars, like taxi drivers, for example.
Mm.
They're looking for something that is, affordable.
Accessible. Easy to come by.
Yeah, and easy to come by and easy to repair.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I imagine there's a lot of comparison in terms of, of which product to buy that's being made, take, for example, by a taxi driver if they are deciding to venture into that business.
Yeah.
And, throw in all the e-hailing services right now, that business is most likely to just go booming. Now, what you now have here is you have this amount of money here. Take, for example, you have, 50K Namibian dollars.
Mm.
And you're looking at the price of, there's a type of a car that, of a sedan, take, for example, that you have in mind that you'd like to buy for your business. And you look at the price of that in a second-hand market in Namibia, and it's somewhere into $100,000.
Mm.
And you look at the price of the same car, a same condition, basically used car in Botswana, it's maybe $30,000, $40,000. So, Now you have this conundrum. Do you buy this one locally here that is expensive to buy, but the parts are easy to come by in terms of service and fixing?
Yeah.
Or do you get one that is cheap to buy, from across the borders, but the parts are difficult to come by in terms of fixing?
And there's no support.
So you're just caught in between a rock and a hard place here.
Yeah. So the one is super cheap.
Yeah.
But it's
to buy.
No, it's super cheap to get you to buy.
Yeah.
But it's expensive to maintain.
Yeah.
The other one, slightly older, slightly difficult, slightly probably more loved.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use the word loved because it might have a lot more damage than what you would have, envisaged.
Yeah.
But slightly more loved, but you can find the parts almost everywhere. You can find the parts almost everywhere. How much, the car before I gave my sister my car, do you know how many people from the established business said, no, we don't work on your model of car? And in the moment I go tap on a former colleague's son who now runs his own business, but is technically from the backyard of his own property.
Yeah.
He said, "Nah, Dwight, just go look here and go look there and go look there. Get the parts. I'll service the car for you. I'll fix the car for you." And voila.
Problem solved.
Until I realized. Mm-hmm. Remember that story that I told you about when, what's his name, Yanis Varoufakis said there's literally only 8 car makers that actually build their own own engines.
The rest?
The rest, they buy and sell the engine technology between each other.
Mm-hmm.
So a VVT-i in Toyota, this side, is a VTEC engine in Honda.
Just different labels.
And Honda's one specifically just works a little, just a little bit more different. But then you suddenly, it's just Mazda. Watch out for Mazda. Mazda is another dark horse in its own sort of like longevity in the product value it gives you. The same for Mitsubishi.
Yeah.
The same also potentially for Isuzu and for Nissan. But when you look at that cluster of Japanese products, you will find their products anywhere. If you just spend time. And just ask the right questions of your mechanic. And then your mechanic will tell you. So, yes, sometimes they don't have the best people skills because they have to negotiate with every client every time. And every client is trying to undercut them for their actual value.
Yeah.
But when you respect them for their price,
yeah,
they will give you the honesty. They will give you the honest responses that you need, which you can use as market intelligence as a consumer to know, okay, how do I approach this issue? Because believe you me, Helmut, you would not know how to respond when your car goes and gets stuck. Even the most hardened and seasoned taxi driver I've seen, that guy panics because he's going to lose customers that are in the car with him. Mm-hmm. And secondly, how much is this going to cost to fix?
Yeah.
So the other scenario that I wanted to highlight as well, when we look at the order with me scenario, is also one based upon how is it that the template of the template of examples that I can give you of good order with me business. Why has it lasted in some cases for so long? And why is it when Namibians who now want to tap into the order with me discussion, they're coming across all the snags. There was one interesting thing that you mentioned that was also in the engagement between the ministry, the government officials and the impacted business community was the aspect of the import VAT, the importation tax.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It is a tax. Namibians must come and explain to me why they believe they shouldn't pay taxes.
Now,
if you really wanted an issue with a tax.
Yeah.
That is an issue.
Yeah. Now my favorite part about that part of the discussion was, I think there are about 2 or 3 people that asked a somewhat similar question, but one that more like asked it in a way that was very easy for me to wrap my mind around was, which is also something that the Minister of Finance found intriguing.
Yeah.
Back again to the gentleman, gentleman from GAM and his business of buying cars in Botswana. Now he told of he told the story of him buying a car for a client. He had a client in Namibia and the car in Botswana. Went to buy a car which is about 50 something thousand, and as you can imagine, had reached an agreement with the client here before going and conduct that transaction. After buying that product, when he came to the border to process all the necessary paperwork to bring the car into Namibia, he ran into a problem because he looked at all the taxes and all the the fees that he will have to pay to bring this product of this particular price into the country.
Yeah,
but after buying that product in Botswana, when he got to the border, they looked at the receipt and then they gave him, and they said, the value of this car Yeah, you know, that's the word I found fascinating, because if that's the word that they used, they said to him that the value of this car is about 100,000 Namibian dollars. So the tax you'll have to pay is relative to the value, which is higher than the numbers that you basically the math that you got when you're doing these numbers here before buying the product.
He's not telling the whole story. There's something he's not telling us, Hamoud. Because if he gave a receipt of purchase,
receipt that he forgot in his car when he was asking the question. So,
I'm
just saying I find the story is very fascinating. And the thing is, from the look of things and the response from the crowd, I believe that's something that
something in his story, because
that's something that pretty much I'm assuming everyone in that line of business is going through.
True, yeah. But look, people's experiences. I won't take that away. I also won't sort of like punch down on their experiences, because every person has their own experience in terms of how they run their business. We have to understand that as well.
Yeah.
But there's literally something missing in that statement that he gave. I know. You know, because I was also like, some of these people. I mean, really wrap your mind around. Now, ask yourself, Hamoud, how much do you think is the importation bill for these retailers here in Namibia? How much do you think they pay? I don't know how much they pay, but I'll tell you definitely, for them to buy from their head office in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they are buying because the product has come across the border. They are buying the stock.
Yeah.
They are probably paying a lot of money.
That's an interesting one, because one lady asked a question in relation to that particular point, but on the other side of the break.
Join us for the Ehangano Concert Volume 2 with Ali Tobias. Experience an unforgettable evening featuring songs from her latest album, A Bilo, performed live with a full band. Special guest appearances by Tate Buti, DA, Paige, and One Accord. All proceeds from the event will go towards supporting the Our Lady Orphanage. The event takes place on 4 July 2026 at the National Theatre of Namibia. Tickets are available on Web Tickets Namibia for 450 Namibian dollars. Don't miss this powerful night of music, inspiration, and giving back. Ehangano Concert Volume 2. See you there.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Welcome back. We continue. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. It's a Monday. As usual, Monday to Friday, we're here to keep you company from 4 to 6 with one topic after another one. Now,
you were gonna add on to what I said.
There's one lady that also asked an interesting question. She gave her name and the name of a business.
Mm.
You know, very catchy, very creative at coming up with names.
what?
I know, right?
What?
My favorite was the meme who showed up with a bag of rice as an example. Now,
wait, she's meme rice?
Yeah.
She's meme rice.
Yo, it's not mine. Now,
yeah.
Look, The question that the lady asked was that there's a type of a fee. I'm not sure if it's the VAT tax or some kind of levy or something that you are required to pay when you're bringing products into the country.
Import VAT.
That is higher for smaller businesses than it is for big businesses, which I.
No. Helmut, in some cases, look, it probably depends on the value of the importation. Because let's, for example, say.
So the value of the product counts a lot.
It does. Okay. So let's, for example, say if you're buying one thing for 10,000 Namibian dollars and you have to bring it across the border.
Yeah.
So what's 16.5% of that thing?
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be 1,650. No. That's 10%. That's at a 10% rate. So you just add the extra onto the 160. So it's 700, 900 bucks, 900, close to 900 bucks out of that 2000. Nah? But what the customers in many cases have to know, and this is just how you run your own business, how you recuperate this expense. You have to transfer it to your customer.
Yeah.
So if you are seeing in the catalog, it costs in South Africa five rand. Nah. And for you to bring that 1 5-rand item across the border, you are going to pay 16.5 on top of that 5 rand.
Mm-hmm.
So your customer basically has to pay the price above that 5 rand, because that 5 rand is for within South Africa, for South African clients.
Trickle down, you know, well.
No, not that.
Trickle down cost.
Yeah, it's trickle down cost. But in many cases, now you can see through the arguments that many of the people were making.
Yeah.
For example, the guy that you mentioned, the guy about the car.
Yeah.
Because I was at the guy that was asking about the destruction of the properties by Namra, the confiscated goods.
Yeah.
Look, I feel sorry for people who bring in things that are classified as contraband, basically, and that Namra destroys it. But it also means you should have gone and read a little bit more about what you can bring in and what you cannot.
What you're not allowed to bring into the country.
Because if you look at real good governance by a business, they will tell you, I can't bring in that thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to be an unhappy customer with me. When I bring the thing in, you gave me the money already, but Namra impounds the thing literally at the harbor.
That you're not allowed to bring these.
The thing can't touch Namibian roads.
Yeah.
Or the thing can't even get out of Namport's harbor at Walvis Bay. No business, Helmut, wants to leave you with a bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the really good businesses in this world, no matter how big or how small they are, they will be the ones to tell the customer straightforward, bruh, I can't bring that thing in. Because firstly, Namibia doesn't have any legislation. And if you go and find out about it yourself as a customer, it's a problematic product also. It's literally a problematic product in some cases. For example, you mentioned the 2013 age limit for cars.
Yeah.
Any car older than that,
you can't bring it in.
Now, any good business will tell you, I can't sell you.
I can't buy this one for you because, I won't be able to bring it into the country.
And I will have to give you your money back. So just hold your money.
Yeah.
Rather, select something else.
Select something that is older than 2013.
Newer.
Yeah, newer than 2013, yeah.
Yeah.
Older than that, everyone will be like.
Older than that is the cutoff. But here's the other dimension also. Obviously, big businesses can absorb the 16.5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I referenced my sister beforehand with her book a little bit earlier in the bookstore as well, before it closed down. The scenario from that was, my sister could order at that time 2,000 Namibian dollars worth of books from South Africa. Ne?
Yeah.
And she still pays the 16.5. For 2,000 Namibian dollars, Helmut, it's a box this big. Almost a meter. Yeah. Can be a box this big of books. She still paid it. Now, I don't know what the order with me guys don't understand. The whole issue is that they are bringing things into the country. That they are bringing something in.
Mm-hmm.
Namibia has has literally, these are tariffs. The 16.5% is a tariff. It penalizes you, the importer. Now, in my sister's case, no one was writing books on the level of the rest of the world in Namibia. In a car making case, no one in Namibia is taking upon themselves to go and manufacture a car.
No.
Now, the downside is you're left with what? Because obviously, the caliber of politicians we have in this country, whether you're ruling party, whether you're opposition party, whether you're independent candidate, wherever you find yourself, no one seems to tackle the real economic issues in this country. Meaning, okay, try stimulating something in some sense so that we can actually be self-reliant. Because in order to try and achieve what the Prime Minister said was literally, we have to find paths to feed ourselves. We have to find ways to make things ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then stop building factories in places like Nkurunkuru, where literally 80% of the working population in Nkurunkuru work for the government. They're all government employees. Except for the one retail shop there. Now, guess, Helmut, where are they getting their employees from? Because I'll definitely bet you my bottom $5 there.
Yeah.
That most of the people that work in that retailer that I told you about, the guy with the, I almost said spinach. What was the thing that he grew? The vegetable that no one wanted to eat?
Broccoli.
The broccoli. The guy with the broccoli. Because he mentioned there was a South African retailer there in Nkurunkuru.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the whole 10,000 population of the town, where the working age adults, all of them, are government employees for the local authority, regional authority, whoever, and ministerial offices there, around which sector of the country does that town's economy function? It doesn't function around any agriculture. It literally functions around the salaried people of Nkurunkuru. So why did NIDA build a garment factory in Nkurunkuru?
Development in the Kavango region. What?
You had to pull a regional patriotism card, Helmut.
I know,
but it's such particular questions that we've got to ask questions. You know that we need to interrogate in terms of when you look at trade replacement policies.
Yeah.
I don't have the label correctly, but trade replacement policies is about. Look at what you're importing and see whether or not you can basically manufacture it here in order to it's trade substitution, and substitute it with what you're making. Now, when we look at such particular scenarios, a garment factory is a wonderful thing to start with your manufacturing base. But why could that garment factory not have been positioned in Rundu?
Sure, they had their reasons, but those reasons did not work out positively, seeing that last time I checked, at least, it was at least based on the report that we went through, that it was gathering dust. The same with the tannery in Ndangwa.
The volunteer workforce.
Who
owns the inputs.
You see, all these two manufacturing base, which are excellent, by the way.
I laugh every time when I think about that story.
With immortal leather. Look, the thing is... you have two manufacturing facilities that we could be exploiting, because the fact that you have a thriving Order With Me business means the textile industry has one heck of a market in Namibia.
Yes, yeah. Which also means when you flip it on its head, there's money in Namibia.
There is money for this product. Yeah. But the thing is, all this money is now being sent to, to textile manufacturing hubs like China.
China, yeah. With Ali, what's that thing's name? AliExpress, and with, what's the other platform's name?
Don't say Alibaba.
Because they must both from the same company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alibaba, basically. The Indian one is most, what's the Indian one's name?
There's an Indian one?
Yeah. Because they literally copied Alibaba, literally in like commercial, in e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Is it cart or something. But anyway, but in Namibia's particular case, there are certain sectors, certain, because this is basically all retail and all consumer-based products and services. At the heart of, and I'm taking you way back to the negative experiences of consumers and our experiences, shared experiences with Order With Me, where I told you I have both majority, I have good experiences, depending on the product.
Yeah.
All the books that I bought, all the books that I bought are Order With Me. But there are no writers of the similar caliber. There are no authors. There's potentially academia of this level that can potentially write similar books, like the academics, some of the academic works that I've got. But are they doing it? No, they're not. A second scenario of that, obviously, the negative experience of Order With Me that I experienced. Do you think I would have gone back and given money again to that colleague of mine? No, I wouldn't, because she didn't care. First, she didn't care. She didn't even realize that the product I ordered, that she showed me in a catalog, is not the product that showed up here.
You know, the thing is, we are talking, right, with regards to the issues that are being faced by by Order With Me business operators. And Namra, at the beginning of his speech, one thing that Samshivuta pointed out is how at least the institution on its side have been trying to engage. They had their first engagement I believe in 2022, and they had another one last year. And this one, I'm counting this one as the third one that I know of that Namra has been engaged with Order With Me business operators. One thing is that every time these discussions are being had, there are a lot of things that are being clarified, at least for some of them. But before we continue, let's take a commercial break.
Get so much more.
You get so much more with the ShopRite price because we buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you. Save on 2 kg Real Good Chicken frozen mixed portions, only $99.99. And 2 kg Marathon Light Brown Sugar for a low $37.99. Deals valid until 21 June 2026. Get so much more with the ShopRite price.
Welcome back. So discussions are taking place, and those discussions were frank. No,
you can only be frank with business people.
Look, the emphasis on let's try to the best of our ability to produce everything at home because, the business is thriving because there's a lot of demand for the products that are being bought outside, especially textile. For cars and electronics, I would say that's going to take a while before we start talking about implementing or manufacturing those products here at home. But the textile industry, which is, I believe, last time I checked, is the dominant part of this business because I've run into a lot of people selling clothes than they are people selling cars. And I've run into a lot of people, although cell phones are now taking over like no man's business. And this again, most of them, especially for a lot of those people that are operating the business, especially for, especially for cars and cell phones. One thing these two have in common, especially when it comes to these imported products, is that they are indicated for the most part that these are used products. And now, when it comes to producing things at home in order to take advantage of the market we have available for the products that we are being, that are being dominated by products that are coming from outside the country and creating some of this Namra and local entrepreneurs world attention, it brought me to those two facilities, I know, shout out to the guys at, at Dinapama, their facilities up and running. And, we just have to find out if, the tannery in Ndangwa or then the textile in Kuranguru have also been, if they are in operation because, these two, are into the textile industry. But the question that will bring up again is one of affordability. Well, I mean, we can manufacture the things here at home, but if they are too expensive, people will still import.
Mm.
Yeah, in the very same thing that we have, we don't manufacture cars, but we have a lot of dealerships that have both a large dealership market in terms of cars that have brand new cars and pre-owned or used cars, but the prices are not much of a difference. So people are still importing, even though we have a lot of cars, both brand new and and pre-owned in the country. So it will always boil down to affordability. And if you ask me, the whole discussion, around import VAT is also one of, to some degree, of affordability. Because take for example, if we transfer everything into the trickle down cost,
but you have to.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how. I've gone through a bunch of multinational corporation documents. That's basically how they operate, and which is why the tariffs in the US didn't make sense, because
and you also realize that they basically standardize a price across the world.
Yeah,
wherever they are, that multinational.
Yeah,
if that Toyota in Namibia is a million,
mm-hmm.
you will find it's million. Namibian dollar equivalent price for the exact same buck. Yeah, it might have a light here and a light there and a mirror here in the other market, and it'll be exactly the same price that you're paying. So let's ask the Autumn With Me guys again.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really understand the commercial world?
I believe that's why the most ordered with me cars are secondhand. That's what makes them affordable.
Ordered with me?
Yeah.
Why don't you put the ED there, Almond?
I don't know. they're secondhand because it's, everything is boiling down to the affordability component.
Yeah.
Which is why thank you for bringing up the point you made earlier about the comparison between the used cars, in a domestic market and those ones in an external market, where those ones that are bought outside the Namibian market, in the second hand, a lot of people are rushing for them, and therefore creating this whole order with me in relation to cars business, because they are easy to buy in comparison, not easy. But let's just go with the cheaper to buy in comparison with the second-hand cars here in Namibia.
Mm.
But the parts to fix them, like you explained, it's not that easy for cars that you're buying from outside, and it's easy for cars that you buy inside. So you just have to pick your poison then. It's either you have to buy the expensive one at home, which is easy to maintain because parts are easy to get,
yeah.
or you have to buy, but it will be expensive to buy, but easy to maintain, basically. Or you could just say, well, buy the outside the Namibian market one, secondhand that it may be, it will cause a serious pain in the neck for you to find the parts for the car.
Do you know what's the other thing also with basically the
so we're just doing eeny meeny at this point.
Basically. And I mean, Helmut, each unto their own. I'm talking about consumers, consumer taste, each unto their own. If someone positions a product for you to buy, it's your decision that you make as a consumer. It's
your money.
It's your money to make a choice. But here's the thing. What the Order With Me guys also don't understand is this discussion that the Prime Minister and the Minister had and Sam Shivute had with the Order With Me.
Yeah.
The next, and I'm dictating here to the Prime Minister because I'm a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dictating. The Prime Minister now has to go and talk to the consumers of those businesses.
Uh-huh.
Go and ask the consumers. Come, you consumers.
Let's hear their side of it.
You consumers.
The grievances they are going through.
Let's hear your grievances, issues, quality of these products, and so on. Because the Order With Me guys now got an audience with one of the highest offices in Namibia.
Yeah.
They got access to the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance.
Yeah.
Which you and I, even me as a media person, technically who is slightly privileged than the average Namibian, to get, to attend events where the Prime Minister would talk at or the Minister of Finance would talk at. And the discussion from that is one based upon the privilege that the Order With Me guys got. They aired their consent, their issues and so on. But who asks the consumers about the incorrect things that are imported, the waste that consumers experience because of what the Order With Me guys do. Helmut, the Order With Me people don't understand customer service. I will say today, the Order With Me people I have experienced with, there's a fine line. There's a tranche of them that are very good at what they do.
Yeah.
They understand experience.
Yeah.
For example, my sister was one of them. She was in that category before the bookstore closed.
Yeah, I bought my phone through them. Wonderful, the supplier.
Amut, you're also not telling the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how long you had to wait?
Oh,
and
yeah.
How that, you had to run after the person.
The waiting part.
After you gave them the money. They were supposed to make you feel valued for your money.
The waiting part was the most excruciating.
Exactly.
And and I think when it comes to this ordering business for this second-hand products, let me just say for imported products.
Yeah.
Yeah, for imported products. Because a lot of people that are selling these imported, especially cell phones in Namibia, one thing that you see is that they are well labeled, at least they're those ones that I know of, that these are the second-hand ones, and these are the brand new ones. Now the technicalities of knowing which one is which explicitly becomes a very interesting discussion to have.
Mm.
But the point is, when they are buying these products, at least, as far as I know, and this is the same thing that I've seen, and also had for cars, clothes, and all. There's a certain amount that you have to pay first, and then that amount is used to buy that particular product when it arrives. Then you make, then you make the final payment.
Mm.
That waiting period, everyone I talk to, that buys products through, order, they will tell you the waiting period is the most excruciating one, which makes sense for me because the products are coming out of China with a ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That ship cannot depart, it's just your container.
Exactly.
If it's just your container on that ship has to be loaded.
Because
it to come to Namibia.
You have to understand that's also a business they're running.
Of course.
Yeah. They're not going to be like, you know what, chop chop, let's just do this for that one particular.
Let's literally sail with $1 million worth of petrol in our diesel powered cargo ship. $1 million. Let's just sail for Dwight's single container to be delivered at Walvis. Express delivery. Never in your life, Helmut, will you ever get it.
You can do DHL. I don't know how much you're going to pay.
No, DHL will get it to you in terms of like Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
DHL will get it to you. They will, because DHL has this. But here's the thing, Helmut. It has to be a business that side that will put it on a DHL to Namibia.
One thing that I find interesting in terms of China, let me just say China Africa relations or China Asia relations coming out of this Order With Me business is that what we would like to achieve in terms of Africa Continental Free Trade Area, of trading and interacting of people in between different countries.
Mm.
That's exactly what's happening. Take, for example, in between Namibia and China right now. A lot of these people that are engaged in the Order With Me business have established relationships with businesses and individuals in China. They have that business relationship, but you can't do that with a fellow African country. It's textile.
But that's most the thing, Helmut. That's also
a question for the African Union.
And that's also where the protectionism, but the competition element also pops up.
Yeah.
Look, if the downside of Namibia, order with me, would have been wonderful if Namibia was positioned where?
In Asia?
No. If Namibia was where Mozambique is, and Mozambique was the site. That, Indian Ocean. Is a direct. You literally cut down on the traffic, literally from the east coast of Africa to get to China. How much? I mean, from Ethiopia, you can chart a direct flight to China. You can chart a direct flight to India.
Mm-hmm.
go ask yourself what difficult is from Namibia's perspective.
Hey.
Because Namibia is facing the Atlantic Ocean. So, firstly, geography working against us. No matter what people will say, the geography works against us, which makes economic decisions work against us.
Okay, but all that translates into a cost, right? Because it takes longer. Definitely.
Because Namibia is further, it's longer, it's more expensive. But because South Africa has a Indian Ocean coastline, mm-hmm. and not just an Atlantic Ocean coastline, South Africa has a benefit because South Africa, besides its industrialization, its advancement, South Africa has a direct linkage to any country in this world. But in the broader scheme of things, it would have been, order with me, would have been the state of play for the Namibian commercial realm. Any person in Namibia, even for our population size, if you've just swapped Namibia and Mozambique like this, even if we stayed at the 3 million we currently are, we would have all been millionaires.
You know, one thing that I'm going to maintain on, which I think would be a brilliant idea for Africa.
What?
Sanctions.
For who?
For Africa.
On who?
On all of us.
Okay, so who must impose the sanctions?
Anyone, even, you know.
Even EU.
No, forget EU.
Because we signed an agreement with EU.
You know, those islands, you know, Tuvalu. Let them just sanction us. And
what? What do we do to Tuvalu?
Look, the reason why I like to say that, even though I like to say it in more sarcastic way,
yeah,
it's because...
I first need to understand two countries, the logic of the proposal to sanction the whole of Africa.
Because from the look of... Because
we've got Zimbabwe.
One thing that I've learned from...
Who is smuggling gold out through suitcases.
That's just a terrible way... look.
Gold that's monopolized by the political elite of Zimbabwe.
Two countries that have been sanctioned that have a thriving health sector in terms of manufacturing.
Yeah.
They are manufacturing things that, if you sanction an African country, chances are very high we are going to collapse and we won't know how to get out of it because of our long-term dependency on imports. Now, Iran has a thriving health sector.
Yeah.
Iran has been under sanctions for as far as, since the 1970s? Cuban doctors are here.
Cuba has been sanctioned, has been under blockade and sanctions since the 1960s.
Since the 1960s.
Yeah.
But they are competing in terms of, in terms of pharmaceutical products manufacturing with developing countries.
And they are making.
They are making products.
Better products.
And then there's us.
If you listen to the patients in the countries that they've served in, for example, like the Cuban doctors and the Cuban pharmaceutical industry, in many cases, the people will tell you that the assistance, the chemical compounds used for treatment potentially sounds better than the thing that is sold in a pharmacy.
Yeah.
Potentially sounds better than the thing that's sold in a pharmacy.
Because much of the things that are sold in a pharmacy are coming from, I totally understand for profit, but sometimes, in terms of comparing, the health components, the effectiveness of most drugs and maximizing shareholder dividends, 90% of the time, 90 to 100% of the time, shareholder dividends takes primary. And that's why a bunch of multinational companies have been riddled in a lot of controversies with regards to cutting corners.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, now, take on the Lion Air Malaysia and Ethiopia's, plane that crashed. Now, they were both, Boeing 737.
Yeah.
Now, when engineers on the ground were asked, what happened? Because when Lion Air of Malaysia, Malaysia crashed, the investigators blamed the pilots. Now, it wasn't until the Ethiopian one crashed in 2019? Yeah. When the investigators found the same conclusion from their investigation the investigation led to the same conclusion like the one that was reached when they investigated Lion Air, crashing. So they knew this was a manufacturing flaw. It wasn't until then that's when the manufacturing, Boeing themselves, they actually admitted this could be a manufacturing flaw. Engineers on the ground basically said, well, we are going to tell you what happened. Executives were cutting corners. That's it. We have to work with scrapyards. In other words, engineers had the knowledge of how to make a plane safe.
Yeah.
Well, executives wanted to maximize shareholder value for their shareholders, which makes a lot of sense, terrible though it may be. But here's the thing. Cuba and Iran are countries that will tell you just how innovative countries can be, unfortunately, when some pain is inflicted on them.
Well,
Our dependency on consumption. We're just going to be talking about, you know what, by 2063, we're going to do this. And then that's what we say in theory. And when we look at what we are doing in practical, we keep coming back to Bekele Thomas' speech. We have the Africa Continental Free Trade Area on paper, perfecto. But the infrastructure in terms of energy and transport that's supposed to save that paper blueprint is going in the other direction.
Let me share with you specifically something, and this is just something to give you an indication specifically of when it comes to technology also in the consumer realm. One of the most interesting things that I always like to pay attention to and to listen to internationally is when car companies recall some of their products from the market. Now, a recall, Helmut.
Samsung did that with the Note 7.
I know. They did that.
And that kept exploding on charger. So.
And they had to do that because it was a safety concern.
Now,
if a car company and a smartphone manufacturer can do it, why was it a problem because it's not the first time you've mentioned that story of Boeing. Why do you think it took so long for Boeing to do the same thing, technically, to correct action? Because is it the same story specifically where it was the guidance computer?
The angle of attack,
When they have to come and land. When they think they're at the safety height, because that's what the computer and the sensors are telling them. And in many cases, they are a lot closer to the ground than they are.
And sometimes just on a nose dive.
Basically.
Yeah.
So scenarios, for example, like in the motor vehicle consumer bracket of things. For example, I'm on this thing that is from Ireland. It's a website specifically that speaks about vehicle recalls just in 2026 in Ireland alone. And it's for various reasons. For most of the brands that are sold in Ireland, for example, they speak here about one specific brand. I won't mention names because people might think it also is present the same issue or the same situation with the same brand in Namibia. For example, they speak about a safety issue in one of the brands that had been identified whereby a cockpit cable harness may be damaged when a microfilter is replaced on a service. On a service, a cable is damaged when you take the car back to service. Or, here's the other one, the other brand specifically. Some vehicles may have been assembled with a contact or insufficient clearance, less than 10 millimeters. Do you know how small 10 millimeters is, Helmut?
Really tiny. 10 millimeter, isn't that like
it's one centimeter. Between the tube of the petrol particulate filter and the terminal protection cap of a belt-driven starter alternator. Between the alternator and the fuel cap, the protection cap for this particular fuel petrol thing in the whole setup of the engine. Another one speaks about, and these are like minute things that you, the consumer, don't know about, but potentially that the companies picked up while doing their routine services, because these are things that the factory didn't sort out. So now the extension services basically have to act on behalf of this. Another one, for example, is that a driver's airbag inflator may malfunction due to long-term degradation. So if you could be the most perfect driver in the world, but because you bought a specific car of a specific year, and if the product, let's say you didn't bump your car, that's technically what they're explaining. If you didn't use the thing,
yeah,
the safety feature reacts on you, making it basically a consumer hazard. The safety feature reacts onto you. Now, if we look at such scenarios, Nehamud, and that story that you well versed in about Boeing's particular inadequacies, is that when it comes to transport overall, for example, just that sector, customers want to know that the basics work.
Yeah.
The lights switch on, the engine starts, they can drive the thing, and that they can at least use the brake and the handbrake. A customer will never touch a thing, Helmut, whose brakes are faulty. They will never touch something whose brakes are faulty. Now, obviously, it's similar to, for example, like if you go to the banking sector, which is a service. No customer will use a bank, if the bank, basically when it comes to the discussion of scams and so on,
yeah,
which is also another dimension in its own right, people are still using the banks.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, for example, like...
No one is using SME Bank.
But that one must by law, Helmut, shut down. By court order, shut down. Not by scamming. Well, the scams... technically what it sounds like.
It was...
the scammers will...
talk about one size fits all. The management was there, you know, were the scammers. And then,
They were there.
Look, that's the irony about the whole, I always laugh about the whole SME bank thing. They had a security guy at the door, all the CCTV software and the key cards, you know, special access. Well, it was too late. The thieves are already in the building.
Yeah, they were already employed.
Already in there.
They were already running
being the called say.
Running the business.
Uh-huh. That's most pathetic. Anyway.
Wow, what did you... If you think about it in hindsight, and literally, dear listeners, you can come in. Let's also have a listen specifically to your $5.
Look.
On this particular contribution, because at the heart of everything, order with me is a good idea, Helmut. But there is a lot of loopholes and a lot of gray area that those order with me guys did not share with the Prime Minister. And I want the Prime Minister now. Since the Prime Minister opened up Pandora's box, him, the Finance Minister, and Sam Shibute from Namra, go and have a national stakeholder engagement with the consumers of order with me. Go and have the opposite.
That would be one interesting discussion.
And they should tour the whole country. Because the downside from for example, with the financial services, remember the standing committee engagement I went to about the micro lenders?
Yeah.
The exact same standing committee admitted to where the problem lies in the micro lending discussion.
In that discussion, one thing I discovered is where people are always going to find like the easy and affordable way to do things.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. Okay. It's a good thing you use euphemism in that sentence.
Yeah.
But technically, what they're doing is cutting a corner.
Yep.
They're cutting a corner.
There is I'm not sure if that was the University of California that did a study on the desired path. What they did was there's this like open part of a campus, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Now they wanted to build interlocks on the walkways that will get students or anyone that would like to walk, across that open area on the other side.
Yeah.
So. So they decided to basically make a psychological experiment out of it, that instead of building, you know, instead of building interlocks, and then people will now have to use these walkways that are basically navigated or more like mandated by interlocks. They decided to basically leave it like that for people to basically, for people to cross from one side to another. And then, in just a short period, there were clear footpaths that were marked out. Mm. And then they built interlocks following those clear footpaths. One thing that, one thing they concluded from that experiment.
So basically
was
it was that thing that we knew what the cattle did and the goats did on the farm. They open up, they walk their little, the little spoorkie, the single track. Then that spoorkie is what they basically interlocked.
Yeah. That's what they interlocked. So in other words, instead of putting interlocks first.
I like that thinking.
Yeah. It's really nice. Now, the reason why they did that was, they saw that, in a lot of areas, they had a lot of, of open areas which had, footpaths that were interlocked, but, those interlocks had interlocked footpaths had a lot of shortcuts that were not interlocked.
Yeah.
Then they realized that there's something interesting about human behavior when it comes to finding an easy way to get from point A to point B.
Until an asset forfeiture department shows up and changes course very quickly.
Yeah, I know, right?
And,
I mean,
and then you will tell yourself every day, walk the long path, Dwight. It's the safest.
It's the safest, and that's actually one of the that's one thing that a friend of mine told me in 2019 when I came to Windhoek. And the first thing was the first thing he told me was
never take shortcuts.
Yeah, never
through rivers, through bushes,
through bushes. No. Don't do that. They are shortcuts.
And if you see there's load shedding in a street,
mm-hmm.
go to the next street.
Uh-huh.
Walk around.
Take for example, when you come from town and you are using which road is that? Am I looking at?
Where from town, Hamoud? Do you know how big town is?
When you're coming from town and you are going to Hyper in Kumastown.
So you're following Florence Nightingale and
Pastia. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Florence Nightingale.
Florence is the one that branches off from Pastia past Ministry of Health.
Now when you reach there's this overpass where where you make a turn to go to either Okahanja or
to get onto the B1.
Into the B1 or either Okahanja or is it Rehoboth. Now here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Now when you reach that point, if you're going to Kumasdal, you can go all the way to the Puma service station and then turn left to go to Hyper.
Yeah.
Or these are very sweet and short and very bushy shortcut.
Here through Western Suburbs, the sport field.
You just go through there and you just end up at Hyper. The problem is Team Weed is always around that area.
You call them Team Weed?
Yeah. Okay, that name was a little too much.
You should have called them Team Vegetation.
Ministry. Oh, man, it's a good thing. Look, man, it's a good thing you brought that. You know, there's one lady that got me laughing in that, in that minister order with me and the prime minister engagement.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the middle of her question, she's saying, what's this ministry that's responsible for people going in and out of the country? I'm like, oh, I think she means Ministry of International Relations. International Relations is just a diplomacy, but if you are leaving or coming in, it's Home Affairs.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's this ministry? That's what I'm like, hang on a second. You gotta love this country.
Look, if you're listening to us right now, dear listeners, and you were at that engagement at David Poseidon, we don't feel sorry for you. Some of the things that you guys were saying.
Look, it was a wonderful engagement.
Yeah.
And
a wonderful idea.
Yeah, wonderful idea. And not just wonderful as in this is the third engagement they're having, but one reason why I like the way this one was tailored was the prime minister was like, let's go there and listen.
Yeah.
Because 90% of these engagements is just the honorables giving speech after speech after speech after speech. All protocol observed and all that. But not just the showing up in a full order with me attire, but also just to sit there and listen, which makes the point that you just made even more excellent, that let's have another one similar to that, but for consumers.
Yeah.
Eish, now that one is going to be lit, believe me.
No, because the Prime Minister has to do the same thing that he did for the order with Mies. Yeah? He basically has to say, we're not here to come and make speeches. Tell us what are your issues with order with me. Because if we talk about real stakeholder engagement, yeah, the discussion here has been, who made the loudest noise on behalf of order with me? It was the order with Mies.
Mm-hmm.
It was the order with Mies that complained about the treatment that they experienced.
But which
consumer protection agency is there on behalf of the consumers, Helmut? Do you think I had recourse when I spent more than $300 million with that colleague of mine that got me the complete opposite of whatever she showed me in that picture? Do you know that I'm even sitting here with PTSD just thinking about that poor purchase decision? Because it wasn't even my fault. The worst part is, it wasn't even my fault, but I felt bad for investing in someone who can't even do the basic thing in terms of telling me, listen, Dwight, remember, I'm getting this from China, and China, they might bring in something that you did not see in the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if she told me that beforehand, I would have said, but then I don't want to spend my money with you, because you can't guarantee whether or not I am literally buying what I'm seeing on a smartphone or on a laptop or on a computer screen. You can't guarantee value for my money because you're asking me to invest in you. And what many order with me's forget is, customers are basically investors. A consumer is an investor in you.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like in our case as Eagle FM, these ads that we have, we're a private institution. These ads that we have, those are technically customers that invested in us. And we've got to prove to those customers, listen, the audience that we command, they will hear your paid for content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an order with me cannot even control the shipment the order that they placed for you in terms of what the thing looks like when it comes here. They can't even control that, Hamad. Now, I ask you, with tears in the denim blue eyes I do not own, do you think anyone would buy from an order with me if they told their customers, disclaimer up front, listen, this is a lucky packet order with me. Yes, I'm showing you one image, but whatever shows up in the box,
mm-hmm,
you have to claim ownership and delivery. You have to come and pick up what you paid for, because it's a lucky surprise. Have you ever had lucky surprises, Hamad? For example, like as a kid, when you bought those things in the shop, the ones that had the toy in it, but you didn't know what is in the packet. We called it lucky packets. It's literally like a sealed thing.
Mm-hmm.
In it is like a few sweets, and then there's a plastic toy in it. Mm. It could be for a boy, a little plastic gun. For a girl, it could be a little miniature doll. For a boy, it could also be a little figurine. Stuff like that. Have you ever had those things?
No, I've never bought that one, but I have bought, chocolate filled with rum.
It was brandy, not rum, Helmut. Toch, man. It's not rum. It's brandy. It's brandy.
You've never gone shopping for that chocolate. They have all kinds of flavors, dude.
No, I know, but my mom got them specifically a lot when I was like a kid. And I was like, wow, these are nice things. But my mom told me, which technically can show you basically that I started on a very young age. But we're not talking about me. We're not talking about me.
Too much information.
But yeah, because basically the chocolates were wonderful. But when you look at the particular, and even those products are even order with me. Even those products, those chocolates filled with alcohol.
Yeah.
They also order with me. Now, please, Helmut, you can still buy those products till this day. You can still find them in Namibia.
Yeah.
Now, if you can show good faith through being there and leaving the product for the customer to see. What's wrong with the order with me of doing the same thing? Of ensuring what you order is what the customer paid for and what they're going to be delivered on. I don't want lucky packet surprises. I'll be honest. I'll tell Namibians here, our listeners even. My sister told me, Dwight, I can get you a book for your course. When I was halfway through the second degree of mine, this journalism degree, my sister told me, Dwight, I can get you the textbook that your whole course is based upon. I told her, how do you know my course is based upon a textbook, a single textbook? She says, because you mentioned the name. She went and looked it up. And that textbook is not printed in Southern Africa or in the whole Southern Hemisphere of this world, except for Australia and New Zealand. I asked her, how did you find out? She said, literally, you either get a British version of it or you get an American version. The American version is somewhat embargoed, meaning they put an embargo on themselves so that no one can sell that version of the book
outside
of the US. But the UK version of the same book that the Americans have, the UK version can be distributed anywhere else in the world. I'll be honest with you, Helmut. I paid $2,000 for a textbook. Who hasn't paid $2,000 for a textbook in this country? Go ask the lawyers and the doctors, the engineers, what their books cost.
Yeah, I think I paid $2,000 for maybe 3 or 4 books, not one.
Yeah. So literally, when that book came, I sat there looking, it said there's one lecture of ours. She's literally monopolizing the whole course with this one textbook. And even her textbook is like 15 versions that way in history. I was like, I'm the only person in this country that basically has this book. Now, I ask you, Helmut, if someone can tell me I can bring you this book and all you need is just to have this book. I have another textbook now. It's literally supposedly named the Filmmaker's Bible. It's what all filmmakers, they study out of this textbook. It's about this big. It's bigger than your average Bible. This is its thickness. This is how thick the book is.
There's like 4 Bibles, at least those ones that I
own. At least two Bibles combined. The Bibles that I have, you know, the Catholic one. I don't know about the other one that you Protestants have. You know, making things now sectarian here, but yeah.
I know.
But that textbook itself, just to find out it's something that's not sold in South, it's not, the South Africans don't stock it. And I asked my sister, why is she selling me things that basically come from another planet, basically. She said, listen, Dwight, if you have this knowledge, no one has this knowledge. So I technically sit with 2 textbooks. I can open up a whole college, basically, on information and filmmaking on 2 textbooks. Now, these textbooks are technically textbooks that universities are supposed to stock in their libraries. Universities are supposed to walk around with their budgets, procuring it from, guess who? Order with me bookstores in Namibia. But they're not doing it. They're not doing it.
So we have to order with me everything.
Everything that you see around you. This smartphone in my hand, this tablet that, that I also recently procured, you know, through painstaking scenario, because it's not actually what I wanted, but the guys told me, listen, Dwight, in terms of ergonomics, if you set up with the smaller one,
yeah,
it would have been just as a waste, basically, because you would have felt that your smartphone and the smaller one, the normal tablet size, would basically be a distance between each other.
Yeah.
And the larger one technically speaks towards what? More ergonomics, the images are a bit bigger. It's easier to read instead of now you zooming in and out.
It's basically a go-between your laptop and your smartphone.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't have a laptop. I don't like laptops.
Oh, you have a desktop.
Yeah. So this is the go-between.
What's it with you and laptops, though? Anyway.
No, I tried laptops, and then the thing was just gathering dust.
Oh.
And then I gave it away to my sister. And my sister was like, awesome, Dwight, thank you. And she had that laptop for 10 years.
I don't remember when last I powered mine on. I don't remember when last I powered mine on. A laptop.
So it's also just gathering dust at home.
Yeah, I'm afraid. But let's painfully look at where we are going with this.
Yeah. No. This path is not closed, Helmut. The next chapter, because the Prime Minister opened up Pandora's box, the Prime Minister has to listen to the consumers of the sector.
That would be a brilliant idea. Now, you know, I'm saying it would be a brilliant idea because, pardon me, the goal is efficiency, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if the goal is efficiency, for NAMRA to be efficient at, you know, at a service provision, what they do in relation to the order with me, they have to listen to the order with me. Even though one lady took it personal by calling them murderers. Now, the thing
Why?
Is, you know.
Because she lost income on products
that
were confiscated.
I don't know, but she went very personal. Like, I mean, after her question, the master of ceremony was like, you know what, let's just have, let's calm down and find solutions instead of just yelling.
There was a lot of emotion behind whatever she experienced.
There was a lot of emotions. You can just pick that up from her voice. Mm. But the NAMRA officials now started with Sam Shivute and the officials that basically came to talk on all things, including the relationships that Namibia has in terms of trade with with SACU, including the World Trade Organization itself, and how it all impacts overall trade in Namibia.
Yeah.
The NAMRA guys, in my opinion, they came prepared in terms of people that were basically there to answer the questions that would come from the general public.
Yeah.
Especially those coming into the realm of order with me.
Mm.
But, which I was like, okay, now, that information is a very excellent information. Thank you very much. But the part that captivated all my attention was, this is the textile industry.
Mm.
Like, this is the easiest we can venture into in terms of manufacturing.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that we are having all kinds of conference sizes on trying to figure out how can we buy more
and if,
from outside.
And if only, at the same level in terms of what those conferences and the same cost those conferences take place, that literally all, and the thing is even active because the Prime Minister mentioned it, the youth fund thing. The low turnout.
Yeah, they did even point out to just apply.
Just apply.
There was one lady was yelling in the crowd without a microphone. I don't know if she was yelling when they brought up that whole idea of apply. Yeah.
But it's also specific. No, but it really
is true. Public office. I don't think I will do public office.
Do you remember? Do you remember the audio about the investment guides from NIPDB?
Yeah.
Remember the audio I sent you about the guy that set up how to do business, how to set up a business in Namibia? The lawyer. Do you remember that audio?
I don't think I read that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll summarize it.
Yeah, please.
So when, since I was literally at that event, but I recorded basically everything. So, I won't mention names, but a law firm who authored one of the investment guides of NIPDB, the first four. Two of them were obviously authored by an investment house and an economic analysis business. That's the one run by the economist Salomo Hay. The second was about banking and payments, which was by another particular private company in Namibia who looks at cross-border payments and, you know, the Namibian banking system and how it fits into the global banking system. Just to tell investors about how your money can literally move into and move out. And then there was the how to set up a business in Namibia, which was authored by the law firm Cronier Incorporated. And the lawyer himself, Mr. Cronier, was sitting there. And he literally said, straight up, Helmut, in the panel discussion, it is horrible for a Namibian small business to operate in Namibia.
The ease of doing business.
It is horrible for you as a Namibian. So that lady's reaction was justified. Listen, Helmut, I couldn't sit through 5 hours of watching an engagement. But hearing what you when you got to that particular part.
And that's a sign that I needn't, you know.
No, but really, listening to 5 hours of people just churning out the same particular complaints, I knew.
The questions get repetitive.
Yeah, because, like I said at the start, you get up, you ask the same question, you get your response. Né? Now I get up and I ask exactly your question and I also get your response.
Mm-hmm.
So what value basically did you basically contribute to the discussion at hand? People were supposed to take notes, sit with a pen and paper and write down things. Now, here's the thing. I can understand why a business owner, for example, like with the order with me, get annoyed in terms of government's response to their concerns.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you go and talk to lawyers who have to help people consult with them about how to open up a business in Namibia,
yeah,
and a lawyer tells you, you have to jump over 5 forests, sail through 3,000 kilometers worth of shoreline and sea and ocean, catch the deepest mermaid if they even exist at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, try to navigate all the way through to the Pacific Ocean on the other side of the world just to open up a business. Then you know Namibia is not friendly to MSMEs.
You know, we only have 12 minutes to go. You know why this engagement is awesome? It's because everything that's not done locally is going to leave room for external products. And I'm saying that because, take for example, for a very long time before the arrival, or more like the gain in popularity of a lot of the e-hailing services in terms of rides, one thing that a lot of people that wanted to get into the taxi driving business, one thing they kept pointing out as one of the major pain of getting into that business is getting a taxi license.
Yeah, because they don't exist anymore. They are not issued anymore.
Exactly. You know what that created? E-hailing services.
Exactly.
Now they are popping up everywhere. Now the people that were, you know, that were hindered in terms of joining that business by acquiring a license or a permit, all they do now is just download an app and voila. Every time there is a, you know, every time something is giving signs or more like it's giving vibes of, now that I'm using words like it's giving vibes, I'm thinking about how the Prime Minister started his speech. Clock it, seriously.
And then they literally did the thing. And I was like, guys, come on. You are business people.
We are clocking it. I'm like, man, I did not expect that to come from you. But sure, let's get to the...
Go and clock it.
Yeah, but the good thing is after he finished clocking it, he got to the speech.
Mm.
Now, you see, the clocking it, I expected that from the Minister of Finance. Maybe it's the African. Maybe it's the African in me. I expected that from the Minister of Finance, not the Prime Minister. But, well, it was the Prime Minister that did the clocking.
Yeah.
The event itself was welcoming in terms of atmosphere, with all the Order With Me outfits from the main speakers and the whole, you know, clock it language. But now, the discussion that this brings us to is every time there is a hindrance in participation, which is why this discussion was awesome.
Mm.
There is discussion, so you can the business owners can share their can share their grievances, and the number of officials will be like on this event they went there prepared. There's one lady that basically explained the part of one lady asked a question in term, from the Order With Me business side that can't some of these fees in terms of taxes just be reduced. And she was like, yeah, that's not within NAMRA's mandate. We can do that. And
so why would you ask such a question?
Frank talk, Dwight. Frank talk. Doesn't ruin anything.
So here's the question. And this is the issue also with some Namibians. You can clearly see that they don't want to pay taxes. I've grown up my whole life paying taxes.
Mark Zuckerberg is avoiding it. Everyone doesn't.
But that's a billionaire.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That billionaire has access to the presidents of the world.
Yeah, that's.
Do you have access to the presidents of your country, Hamid? To your president immediately here in Windhoek? Do you think you have access to your president?
Well, one thing we have learned is that if you can just take your clothes off and jump into the State House fence, you can get as close as possible. But don't do that. Not recommended.
The assumption is...
Because it didn't end well.
The assumption is... Uh-huh. Everybody saw him show up there, fully clothed. That's the assumption.
He showed up fully clothed? Look, I've always wanted to meet the president, but with clothes on. Please, for the love of God. Like, showing up to anyone's house without clothes on is embarrassing, but the president's...
Yeah, because the police would have arrested you already there, you in the street. Because, you know the Public Indecency Act.
Yeah.
Because the police would have arrested you over there. So, definitely, this guy showed up fully clothed.
But what are you protesting, though? Look, I've seen a lot of those protests, coming out of Europe, especially France.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy, I'm straight, so I like it when the protesters are female. It's awesome. Now, the thing is, it doesn't make sense. And if you have seen the picture that I shared, the link that I shared on the group about this event that took place. I'm not sure if it took place today or yesterday. Mm. Nude cycling day. A bunch of fully grown men were on bicycles without a single... And the guy is wearing a helmet and glasses. I'm like,
there are certain things, like, for example, in Africa, we can all have fun. And in some cases in Europe, that's their level of fun. Let me explain to you an even better story. So my sister once told me, for the past 2 years, my sister kept hounding me, Dwight, you must save up some money, buy an air ticket and go to Europe here in this period of the middle of the year.
Yeah.
And I look at my sister, I'm like, but Europe is expensive. The food is bad. It's not as good as Namibia's food or even African food for that matter.
After I told me the meat prices, I gave her.
No, that was in the UK. That was in the UK that happened with my brother.
Mm.
But then she tells me, yeah, Dwight, and then you go sleep on a bench there in Europe. I said, why?
On a bench?
Why must I go sleep on a bench?
In snow.
No, not in snow. You're thinking about their end of the year, their winter, which is our summer.
Uh-huh.
The proposal my sister was making, this middle of the year, their summer, our
winter. Yeah. Northern, Southern Hemisphere.
Because you go to the opposite season.
Yeah. In the northern hemisphere.
In your hemisphere, yeah. You go to their opposite season, that side. So that's why sometimes, you have these Namibian girlies that fly at the end of the year, in December, to Europe in the snow, and then they realize their jackets, their jeans, their shoes mean nothing in that winter, because the cold literally cuts through everything. It wasn't made
for that.
Namibian clothes in Southern Africa were not made for Northern Hemisphere winters.
Yeah.
The other scenario is when you do it in their summer, then they wonder why you are not being impacted by their heat. And then you tell them, well, I come from a country that's literally 2 degrees warmer than the climate change goal itself. So I'm automatically in such a climate. But anyway, I'm digressing. So my sister said literally, quote unquote, this one statement by saying, no, Dwight, you must go there because this one friend I've got, she toured Czech Republic, and Czech Republic's got like beautiful, like that medieval castles stuff.
Yeah.
She's got a beautiful scenario there and lovely, what they call that thing, and beautiful landscapes and everything. Yeah, go there and then you see life. And then I asked her, okay. And what about it? I mean, because I don't want to go to Europe and just go and look at churches, old churches and stuff. I can open up a Google Reese. I can open up a Google search and just look at it from here. Or I can fly to South Africa and go and look at South African, architecture. And then my sister filled in at the end of her sentence by saying, yeah, and that friend of mine decided to go sleep there for a night on a bench in a park. I was like, wat's a goed? What? So I must now go to Europe to go and sleep on a bench.
Why?
I don't know. Apparently, the explanation that was given to my sister was that she saw the local Europeans, the local Czechs, the drunk people from boozing the night and the homeless people.
Yeah, and those guys are known for that.
Apparently, they have a huge dispute between them and the Germans about who makes the best beer. So this friend of my sister said, no, she saw the you know, just the regular locals there. And you obviously know that the locals are European mm-hmm. in nature and in features. They were just sleeping it out there in the park. No one is robbing them, zero. And she decided with her luggage and stuff, she's also just going to sleep there on a bench. I'm like, what? You know, the things that some Namibians go and do in other places. I'm like,
oh, so,
but you won't do this here in Windhoek in front of your parents, Goeterse. You could do it in another country.
Right. No, when it comes to that, sorry. No, you're missing the point. A white person on the park bench may be classy. I'm black. Their first question is, look at this immigrant without a job.
No, but that's exactly the thing that I'm saying. This Namibian flies from here all the way to Prague in Czech Republic. It was now Czechia. This was no longer. This was them in Turkey that changed their names.
Turkey.
So she flies from here all the way to Prague, just to go sleep on a bench. Did you really spend all, if you look at the economics that you invest, the finances that you, not even economics, just the finances that you invested, costs that you suffered to get there. Do you really want to go sleep on a floor?
No, I'm getting at least a guest house.
And they do have like youth hostels for like travelers.
Yeah.
They call them youth hostels, but any age, if you're a traveler, you just book your, you just go and pay and you sleep there. Obviously, when it comes to the ablution facilities, there's like very little privacy, but at least you have a bed to sleep.
Yeah.
You just pay the fee. To go sleep on a bench, bruh. Huh? Is that the kind of consumer you want to be?
Something that Trevor...
You don't even do it in Namibia, but you want to do it in Europe.
Something Trevor Noah pointed out was that when his friends ask him to go camping, the things that they describe...
I have trauma from camping. One, just because of one friend. He didn't say, bring your pillow and your sleeping bag with... because we're going to camp out in the riverbed on his girlfriend's farm. No. Only when we got there, we see tents being put up. And we're being asked, guys, come on, help with the tents. And we're like, what are we doing?
We're camping.
No, we're camping here. And then me and the other three people were looking at each other like, did anywhere in your text message say that we're going to sleep over? Well, you're sleeping. And it literally, his poor response was this friend of mine. He literally said, well, you're sleeping over now.
Look, man, when I listen to people describing what they call the best experience about camping, they are describing the village, which is where I grow up.
No, Hamoud.
Village 101.
No, but what I experience, I realize now, never camp in a riverbed. And when people invite you to camping, get a sleeping bag.
More. Get the best for dad this Father's Day at ShopRite. Save big on a wide range of gifts and treats he'll be sure to love, like an 8-piece Wall Home Pro Basic haircutting kit for $179.99 per set. Kalahari Hemsbok Droivors for just $36.99 per 100 grams. Or give the gift of choice with a ShopRite gift card. Deals valid until 21 June 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Welcome back, 6 o'clock on the dot, coming back from that camping detour back to the conclusion of the Order With Me and Namra featuring Prime Minister Clokit and Minister of Finance.
I think we should call the Minister of Finance now, Order With Me.
Minister of Finance.
Minister of Finance and Prime Minister is Prime Minister Clokit.
He really asked for that one, but I think...
Velvita University for the NQA approval for expansion of scope. Velvita University is pleased to inform all stakeholders that the Namibia Qualifications Authority NQA Council has approved our application for expansion of scope. This approval grants accreditation for the following NQF registered qualifications offered through full-time blended learning mode at our university. These include the Bachelor of Laws Honours, the Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, and the Diploma in Legal Studies Level 6. Velvita University, where everyone is an achiever.
So that was one awesome engagement. And, yeah. You know, like I pointed out earlier, my point of view on this engagement was that, it's a good initiative because if the grievances are not heard, they'll just pile up into, you know, overall anger. And believe me, I like the comfort I'm living under in terms of political stability. Mm. That's one. The second thing is wherever there is, wherever people are basically cornered economic wise, they will try to look for easy ways to afford stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think that's why the best description of that is the one that you gave earlier about local secondhand cars and the foreign ones. Mm. One is expensive to buy but easy to maintain and easy to find parts. Those are the local ones. Mm. And one is cheap to buy but difficult to maintain and find parts. Those are the foreign ones. So now, as you can imagine, every taxi driver, anyone that basically want to decide to buy a car on a budget, they now have to face that conundrum of trying to choose which one to go for.
Yeah.
And more often, because for the most part, people just want the product and then worry about the products, about the services and the repairs and the difficult or ease of getting parts later. A lot of people just go straight to buying and then think about, fixing the parts, accessing the parts or services to service the product later, which is why I totally understand now why there are a lot of these cars on, resale market.
Basically. And at the heart of it, which is a very good point that the new car market, which is basically, if you call it the localized car market in Namibia, point they make is they sell a brand new thing.
Yeah.
And from there, it gets into its secondhand or its used category.
Yeah.
But what's happening with the other component of importation and of secondhand cars is literally secondhand brought to secondhand becoming first hand here in Namibia.
Yeah.
And then in between, there's no parts support, service support, zero. So yeah, the order with me, guys, they have to be honest. But my specific
experience,
request directly to the Prime Minister is, him and the Minister of Finance and Sam Shivuta opened up the Pandora's box right now. They must go and consult with the consumers of order with me. Ask for assessment, basically, in terms of understanding how happy are consumers with what the order with me people that they met there, David Poseidonote, are with what's happening.
Wouldn't that end up with opening another Pandora's box of them having to do that with the consumers of all the products from all kinds of business, both local and local and international? Basically, now they will have to consult all the consumers that are using the services of financial institutions and here.
Basically, yes.
And all the groceries.
They opened up the Pandora's box.
The point I'm making, Dwight, is the next thing they are sitting with an audience of Eagle FM listeners. Basically. And Home Run listeners, now they are there like, you know what? That guy is always cracking jokes. All right.
It's because of Dwight that they are now in. But they created this work for themselves. They created this work for themselves.
Yeah. But on that note, Dwight is here now. David is here, and now we have to go.
I'm already here, Hamad.
Yeah. Now we have to go until tomorrow, same time, same place, where we will be talking about something different. And remember, from the language of the Prime Minister, clock it.
Sharp, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Can't believe that dude said clock it.